if healthy, we're getting to the point where some hard economic decisions are going to have to be made about Aaron Sanchez. If Aaron Sanchez is healthy this year and has a great year, should we be any more concerned or any less concerned about him signing a long-term contract because his agent has taken shots at the organization?
I mean, I think there's a lot of ifs in that question. I think the moment that Sanchez signed with Scott Boras, the whole dynamic changed between Aaron and the organization. And it started a couple of years ago with spring training when Boras came out and said what he did when the Blue Jays stuck to their policy with Sanchez and when it came to compensation, and then the Blue Jays then changed their policy, you know, making the Aaron Sanchez rule. I think a lot still has to be played out with the whole Sanchez situation. So, you know, where are the Blue Jays going to be when Sanchez's contract is up? Is Aaron part of their future plans? I mean, it's hard to know that right now.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a healthy season, what kind of season is that going to be? I mean, there's just a lot of questions that still need answering.
What can you tell us about the new bench coach, Dave Hudgens?
Well, he comes over from Houston, and he's the hitting coach in Houston. He's been with the Astros for 4 years in that role. And, Jeff, as you know, the Blue Jays really hold the Rays organization and the Astros organization in high regard.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have a new manager from Tampa and a bench coach from Houston, but they're very intrigued with the bench coach and his knowledge of hitting, the way the Astros approach the science of hitting, the analytics of hitting, and that was a big part of it. Now, there's not a real relationship between Montoyo and Hudgens. That's the interesting part here. Through professional circles, they know of one another. So they're kind of coming together from the standpoint of let's just make this work. But there's no surprise that somebody from Houston and somebody from Tampa are among the first two hires in the post-John Gibbons era.
Right, and I know, you know, people have reached out and said, well, you know, of course they're going to hire somebody that Ross Atkins would know from Cleveland, and Dave Hudgens from Cleveland. And my response to that is, Alex Anthopoulos hired John Gibbons because he knew him, and he wanted to bring somebody in that he's comfortable. Like, we got to get over this thing that everybody who comes from the Indians organization is awful. And you're right. Dave Hudgens is coming from Houston, but he first met these guys when he was in Cleveland. We got to get past that because everybody hires guys they're comfortable with. And Arash, you've been around enough teams. There's always give and take. You know what? When you put a coaching staff together, you got the managers guys, you got the front offices guys. And that was the case even before analytics. You know, ask Jim Fregosi if he really wanted Dave Stewart around as his pitching coach. Well, Jim's dead now, but Jim would have told you in no uncertain terms, with about 14 F-bombs tossed in, that there was no freaking way he wanted Dave Stewart as pitching coach. I mean, it happens.
But Jeff, that's not a baseball thing. That's not an analytics thing. That's just a pro sports thing. That's an amateur sports thing. That everybody, you know, any head coach wants to surround himself with people he knows, people he trusts, maybe more than anything, and somebody that they know how they're going to work. And it doesn't matter if it's at the university level. It doesn't matter if it's at a national team level. It doesn't matter if it's at the pro sports level, regardless of sport. That's just how it is. So my intrigue in all this, though, is that they're, you know, where they're headed with this, it is much more analytics based. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the game is going. But the Blue Jays are not totally throwing away the human element of this either. That's an important part of this, of understanding who and what the people they're going to bring in are, from a player standpoint, from a staff standpoint. And they continue to preach culture, and culture matters in 162 games and 187 days. You don't have to love the people you're around, but you have to get along with them, and you have to believe in them and the rest. And the Blue Jays have bought into that.
What's your sense of what's going to happen with J-Hap? You know, we talked to Shai a bit yesterday. He's getting the sense that the Yankees are pretty serious about bringing him back. We know that he likes Toronto. We know that the Blue Jays have some interest in him. You know, I mean, even if Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman are healthy, they're going to need another starting pitcher. They're going to need another 180 innings out of somebody with a little bit of track record. Do you think that we may be? It's not the same as Edwin, but that the Jays will get a read very quickly, a rash, on whether or not J-Hap is going to come back. And if he isn't going to come back, they will move quickly to fill that void.
I absolutely believe that last part to be true, Jeff. I don't know where Hap is at.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you a few things about it, though. One, I asked Brian Cashman about Hap, and Cashman's answer was he checks off a lot of the boxes that you want as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Not just because he's a lefty, but you know how he is, Jeff.
Yep.
I mean, the Yankees saw what the Blue Jays saw. A pro, somebody who's accountable, somebody who works at his craft, etc. Ross Atkins said, Hap's one of my favorite people. What we don't know is, at this stage of his career, what's the most important thing for Jay? He's the father of two young kids. How is that dynamic going to be? But the one thing that I would say, being around him the last couple of years, but especially in the lead up to the trade deadline and the aftermath of it, is that I get the sense that Hap is somebody who, wherever he signs, which is likely his last or second to last contract, mm-hmm. he doesn't want to be traded from there.
Yeah.
He wants to have an assurance that, not an assurance, but an idea that wherever he ends up going, that's going to be his home. The whole lead up to the deadline last year affected him. It bothered him. It was on his mind. And then, you know, completely rehauling his situation from a professional standpoint, from a personal standpoint, from getting the family settled standpoint, that, you know, that wasn't his cup of tea. So, for instance, if it is the Yankees, you know that for the next couple of years, this is going to be a team that's going to be a contender, and they're probably not going to ship you out.
Right.
They're not going to shop you around. I think that has maybe as much value to him, and that ties hand in hand with winning, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a big part of it. You know, if Hap signs a 1 or 2 year deal in Toronto, who's to say in July of 2020 we're not talking about J. Hap being dealt at the deadline again?